We're going to talk about patience. In this sequence, we start with faith. You don't begin anywhere else. You don't begin with church. You don't begin as important Bible study is, the purpose of the Bible was written to give us faith. So out of everything that happens in our life, our circumstances, our the blessings and stuff like that, nothing matters until faith is engaged. As a matter of fact, can I show you a verse? This is very convicting. Hebrews, please. And Hebrews chapter 4, I'll show you something. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 1, the importance of faith. Hebrews 4 and verse 1 says, "Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest." Now, they already were in the promised land, so this is a different kind of rest than what Israel was granted when they came into the promised land and they built houses. Paul says, "Let us enter into Christ's rest. Let us fear if any of you should seem to come short of it," not make it. "For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them," speaking of the Jews back at that point, about 1,500 years earlier. "Unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with" what? "With faith in them that heard it." So the worst thing to do is to come to church and not take what you hear and then mix it with faith and start believing it. You start with faith and then you add to your faith virtue and on up, and we're trying to get, believe me, this is very hard. This will be the tallest, furthest strip you'll ever get to, stretch you'll ever get to in your walk with Christ. And this is a walk, it is a climb. But to get to the place where you love selflessly is our goal. Now, patience, where we're going to talk tonight. Patience is the ability to go through trials and troubles without complaining. That's a simple definition. Add to your faith. Let me go through here. Like building up bricks on a wall, you start off with faith and you add to your faith virtue. After you add virtue, virtue is the inner strength to do right. You start to decide what you're going to do and what you're not going to do. Now that you're saved, you make that choice. The Holy Spirit will fight you and will argue with you and try to pull you away from any desire that you want to do when it comes to sin, but you make the final choice. So you add to your faith virtue. What was the next thing after virtue? Knowledge. Where we grow, we've got to learn the Bible. We're supposed to become aware of the events and the people of the Bible, but your goal is to get to know the author. Grow in knowledge. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Grow in knowledge. Then you add to knowledge, and we dealt with 3 weeks of it. What was the next one? Temperance. Temperance is not just self-control. Whose control is it? God's control. It's the Holy Spirit controlling your life. Learning how to keep your life under His control, not under the control, dominion of the flesh. And then you add to that something else, because there's still something that you and I still need that's more than faith or virtue or knowledge or temperance, and that's patience. Why would we need patience? Why would we need patience? I thought of four things, because this flesh doesn't yield fast enough. I mean, I just don't obey fast enough. Maybe you do. I don't know. My brain doesn't learn fast enough. My heart doesn't yield far enough. And my prayers don't get answered fast enough. You see, when it comes to my growth, God puts right in the middle of these steps one of them that says, all right, now you're striving. Now be patient now. Learn patience. Patience... Compared to frustration, patience is what I am going to direct toward each and every one of my troubles and trials. And I will find strength while I wait on the Lord. I don't find strength like I think. Normally I'm looking for strength out of all. And when I say strength, I mean encouragement. I don't always find encouragement from friends. Don't always find encouragement from just the normal things of life. God sometimes puts us, and I'm going to use the right term, God sometimes puts us on a shelf, not because He's through with us, but because He's trying to teach us patience there. And we will recover strength there more than any other place in our life. there are things... how many of you know the verse that says, "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Learning to wait on God is part of patience. Biblical patience. Go to Proverbs 13 and verse 12. Proverbs 13 and verse 12. We'll start on this side over here. Brother Dan, if you want to start Proverbs 13, 12, please. Wow. That's a struggle. Hope deferred. You hear the word deferred? What does that mean? Put off. Delayed, we'd say. Patience is a hard word. Hope, when you're looking forward to something and it doesn't come to pass, how does your heart feel? You feel sick. All right, so patience is a hard way to live. Now, we understand its meaning. In simple words, it means waiting and not getting upset while we're waiting. Good night, you stand in, you get into a queue and you're waiting, and the person at the register is just taking their time and they're talking on the phone or they're chatting with somebody or whatever. You're like, come on. Patience. The opposite. The opposite of patience is haste, stress, worry, anxiety. Those are modern problems in our life, and they're the opposite of patience. But here's the real convicting thing. You ready? Signs that you're impatient. All right, you ready? Irritability. Being on edge, stressed out, frustrated. How many of you know you've been impatient this week? Huh? Irritability. You know what irritability is, don't you? I mean, it's just everything starts bugging you. Everybody starts bugging you. Things not working right. They bug you. You're on edge. All somebody has to do is look at you wrong. You're like, what are you looking at? Patience is out of bounds at that point. Patience. Somebody wrote this. Somebody described it this way. Patience is the quality that does not surrender to your circumstances and does not succumb or give in under trial. It is the opposite of despondency, and it is always associated with hope. Now, when you look at that, you got to understand delay is something we don't like to endure. When we want something or we expect something, we want it. And we expect it now. You know, when I was younger, when I was 14, 15, 16 years old, the computer age was rewound. And it was so marvelous because it was magical that you turned, In my day, we built little things. We built these little computers. I and my friends, we were into hobby computers. But I remember getting a job, and they had a desktop computer. It's called an IBM PC. And I remember when the boss bought the thing and paid thousands of dollars, and then actually installed this new thing called a hard drive. And the biggest hard drive they offered at that time was 10 megabytes. You know, your little USB thing has like 8 gigabytes on it. But anyway, the point was this. You attached a printer to it. You brought up a spreadsheet long before Excel was called Multiplan. And you'd fill up all this stuff. And you'd go to print. And then you'd go and get a cup of coffee. and it would take forever. Printing out what you had worked on a computer. And we thought it was magical. We weren't looking at it going, man, this is taking forever. No, it took 10 minutes to print that page. And we went, look at what I did. We were so proud of ourselves. It was so accomplished. Now, if something's not spitted out like every second, you know, we're like, man, this printer is slow. We're very impatient. Delay is something we don't like to endure. We live in an impatient generation. How many times has your impatience got you in trouble? I bet you're like me, and you've probably made wrong choices simply because you were impatient. Nita can tell you the times that we were like, we need to get something. I need to, like I would say, we didn't have any money, and I'd say, I need to buy some shoes. I'm not just a holy man. I'm wearing holy shoes. Because I would joke about, you know, that. I mean, I guess I got to have, a holy life. I don't know. Anyway. And she'd tell you, I would go off and I would say, I'm just going to go buy it. So I go buy shoes. And then somebody would, the very next Sunday, somebody would come along and says, I got a pair of shoes for you. Why didn't you tell me last week? When I would get impatient and go do something, when if I just knew and I just prayed and I just said, Lord, I'm going to trust you for that thing and I'll wait. You ever jumped into something in a moment of impatience? You ever bought something you knew you should have prayed about beforehand? As a Christian, we should be patient. And I notice there are a few people who seem to have natural patience. You ever been around somebody who's just naturally patient? Don't you hate them? But the norm, most of us, we're revving our engines, we're stripping our gears just to get going when we need to learn patience. And here's the truth. You need to go to Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. The presence of the Holy Spirit in your life produces fruit, and one of the fruits that the Holy Spirit produces is patience. Galatians 5 and verse 22, Kathy, please. Galatians 5, 22. Go ahead and read 22 and 23. All right, where's the patience in there? Yeah, it's not... You're good. It's not spelled patience there, but it's the same thing, isn't it? As a matter of fact, this is a rougher word than patience, isn't it? Patience. Oh, I can handle that word. I don't like the word long-suffering, do you? A fruit of the Spirit is patience. The moment you became a Christian, the Holy Spirit began a divine work to produce whose character in us? Jesus Christ's character in us. I don't care who you are. The Holy Spirit works from the same pattern. Whether you're a Texan or you're Irish or you're Kenyan or South African or you're Nigerian or you're New Jersey. No, you're not New Jersey. You're from Philadelphia. He takes all of us and He begins to mold it to one pattern. And that one pattern is just described in those verses. Full of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. All right, so the Holy Spirit will immediately begin helping you experience and practice the same love that Jesus had when He laid down His life for His friends. He'll give you the same joy that He experienced. You know, you wouldn't follow somebody like Jesus unless He was a happy man. And that same joy will now fill you. The identical peace that guarded the heart of Jesus, even when He was being beaten and mocked, will be the peace that the Holy Spirit works to instill in you. And then the long-suffering, the patience that Jesus had for the most unreachable disciple, will be the patience that the Holy Spirit will now develop in you. You see how that work is in us. There'll be a goodness about you that can only be explained by the presence of the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit will build the same faithfulness into you that led Jesus to entirely be obedient to His Father and be faithful to the end. The Holy Spirit will teach you a temperance, a life control, so that you'll have the strength to do what is right and to resist temptation. And that is the work of the Holy Spirit. So what is biblical patience? It is a gift from God. It's not something you just do. Now, the difficulties of patience. You can't talk about patience without talking about difficulties. And what's wrong with patience? It's not in our nature. I don't care if you're... How old is Lucy? 3? 2? 3? I don't care if you're 3, 33, or 103. We just demand our way, and we demand it now. You ever heard? Graham's about to be reawoken in the middle of the night by Junior. And when Junior wakes up, you know what Junior wants? Attention now. Right? That's a kid for you. It doesn't matter what age you are. It's not in us to be patient. And this is very important. Patience must be learned. It's something that you have to adapt to, because you don't want patience. It is something that God wants to teach you. He equips you with it, then He teaches you how to use it. It'd be like if I said to Junior here, Henry Junior, I said, Henry, I got a car for you. Henry said, cool. I said, it's yours. I got your name on the registration. It is your car. I'd be a fool if I didn't actually now train him how to drive it. So God gives us patience, but He teaches us how to do it, how to live by it. So patience must be learned. Thirdly, it's only developed, are you ready? In classrooms? By FOSS courses? No. By self-help stereo, teaching sessions on cassette tape? Remember those things? No, patience is only learned by troubles and delays and disappointments. That's where the classroom of patience is always held. If you try to read a book about it, or you try to learn a lecture about it, you are not going to learn it. Okay? You may get information, but that information has to be forged into your life through experience. And your experience is all negative. And when patience is not learned, let me be real clear. The opposite work in your life, if you do not learn patience, say it with me. What's the word there? Bitterness will take over. Because, hey, I'm frustrated. Things aren't working right. If I don't get that frustration resolved, you know what it becomes? Resentment. I carry that resentment, and that resentment, when it finally hardens, it becomes bitterness, and it's almost impossible to become unbitter. It's not that it's an impossibility, but believe me, the hardest person to minister to is not a sinner that's a drunkard or a heroin addict. You know, the hardest person to deal with, and I'll put my hand on the thing, the hardest person to deal with is a bitter person. Because they have gone so far where God tried to teach them something, and they got so angry, and they got so frustrated. Anger becomes frustration when it doesn't become resolved, doesn't get fixed, and frustration becomes resentment. You begin to blame and hate everything, and resentment when it is not brought back under the authority of God and said, God, I trust you. I will not get bitter. But instead, if you don't, it ends up in bitterness, and bitterness is like a rock that has to be broken. It cannot be softened. Not normal. Now lastly, patience is a humiliating attitude. You don't want to get confident. We were talking this afternoon in Preacher's Workshop about delivery, about how you preach, and how do you get to the place where you can present your message. And it's we think that, boy, if I'm going to preach, I got to get confident. No. You got to get used to being humiliated. Got to let it just, you say stupid things, you do stupid things, you just do your best, and you stay humble. And patience is a humiliating. It is a constantly bringing you back down. It's not a confident attitude of, I can do this, so, but instead it is, I'm letting God do it. Now, I'm not going to go very far because I've got a lot to say, and we're going to finish up early tonight, but I just want to talk a couple of things from James about how patience works. James chapter 1, three things that it does, and then we're through. James chapter 1, let's see, Nita, if you'll read verses 2, 3, and 4.
Yes, ma'am.
Wow. Now, patience is a work. Is work something that you find easy? No, work is used there. Where patience has to work on us. I kind of looking for a picture of somebody trying to mold, trying to fashion something. There's a work that has to take place on the believer's life. And there are three things that patience does. First of all, it perfects us. Kind of like it polishes us off. It removes the rough edges. Let me say it this way. We all need love. But without patience, love has no foundation to rest on. See, when you love somebody or you love what's supposed to be loved, if you're not able to be patient, your love will disappear. Without patience, life becomes just a string of disappointments instead of a series of steps to Christ-likeness. You understand what I said? Without patience, you'll go, especially there are periods in cycles in your life where you go from disaster to disaster to disaster. And without patience, you'll think that this is just a nightmare. I just want out. But if you have patience, you'll realize this is a work of patience in me, making me more like Christ. Without patience, prayer simply becomes demands because you're impatient. Like, God, do this. Where have you been? What's wrong with you? Without patience. Without patience, child rearing becomes drudgery and depressing. Are you always going to be like this? I was never like this when I was your age. You know, you have to patiently teach your children. You have to patiently love them. And you have to stay on them, knowing that when they get older, they will not depart from them. See, we want it to be plug in, push the button, and they turn out perfectly. They don't. Without patience, the Bible becomes long and hard when reading. Do you remember the first time you read your Bible? Some people think the Bible is kind of like a novel. You just sit down, you know, and I'm just starting over here. I could read this probably in 3 or 4 months. And then after 6 months, you're like, without patience, you'll quit. I can't encourage you enough. I don't know, I didn't have a problem. When I read my Bible, you didn't have to tell me you should read 4 chapters a day. I was reading 10. I read it through from Genesis, Revelation, didn't understand any of it. But I read it through Genesis, Revelation in 6 months, and I says, I'll start over. And I read it again, the entire Bible, twice in 1 year. If I had had the attitude of, this is taking forever, I would have quit. Amen? Patience, especially when it comes to spiritual things, makes church, makes the ministry, makes the Bible a drudgery without patience. Hey, what about in soul winning? Would you say patience is a necessary ingredient for soul winning? Patiently win them, the song says. I mean, we go up, I've seen some impatient people. Usually they're in the States. You guys are not impatient, but I've seen them where they're, I am from such and such Baptist church. Can I ask you, if you were to die tonight, do you know where you'd go? You don't. Listen, let me tell you. Do you believe in God? Great. Listen, the first thing you need to do is you need to believe in God. Secondly, you need to, do you believe you're a sinner? Yes, amen. Nod your head. Yes, okay, you believe you're a sinner? You believe that Christ died for sinners? Yes, amen. Good, good. Now, you believe in God. You believe you're a sinner. You believe that Christ died for sinners. You believe that without Christ you'll go to hell, right? Yes, you believe that? Good, all right. Listen, would you just pray with me right now? Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray with this dear friend of mine that I just met here at the door and spent the last 62 seconds with. I've asked you now to save his soul as he prays. Would you just pray after me? Dear Jesus, please save my soul. Please save my soul. Thank you for saving my soul. Thank you for saving my soul. Amen. Good. You're now saved. Amen. See you later. Now, I was able to act that out because I was there. I didn't do it, but I'm like looking at these guys who are cranking them out like pasta. That is not how you win a soul. That is not how. I mean, I've been there where you wanted to force them. You wanted to get your family member to bow the knee, to cry out to God, but you can't do it. So you're praying in your waiting, in your witnessing, in your sowing, in your watering, in your waiting. Patiently win them. I've actually had a friend, but I heard a pastor. I was with a pastor. And I tell you some of these things not to discourage you, but there are some nuts out there. I was with this pastor going soul winning, and we had gone down an entire street, and nobody wanted to talk to him. And he got through, and he just went like this. Says, they deserve to go to hell. That's the last time I ever spent any time with him. Can you imagine the audacity of that? They didn't reject him. They didn't reject God. They're just too busy. If you ever go somewhere and somebody rejects the gospel, you know what they need? Prayer and then another visit. They need another gospel track. You don't write people off because they don't work on your schedule. Amen? Patiently win them. If we had a Christianity that was just instant people getting saved, we'd have out of balance. God perfects us by humbling us as we're begging people to get saved. It's a work on us as much as it is on somebody who's lost. God gives us the privilege of participating in soul winning. God could have made it so that the skies declared the gospel, that angels appeared. But He uses us and He expects us to allow God to teach us patience. Believe me, He's patient. A day is with the Lord as what? As 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as a day to Him. And the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, but is long-suffering to us. Well, He's patient with us. We ought to be patient with others. You see how patience, how important it is? Not only does it perfect us here in James, read it again. It says, count it all what? Joy when ye fall into diverse temptations. And believe me, we fall into them all the time. We don't even have to go looking for them. The second thing it does is it proves us. You fall into a trial, you're in a temptation, you're in a struggle. How's your joy? How's your joy? One of the ways you know your patience, and one of the ways you gauge your level of patience with God's work in you, is your joy level. If you're not enjoying the work of God in your life, God may just have to extend the work on your life. I don't like that. I want Him to get it over with. But count it all joy. I don't know if that's the secret, Brother Dan, but I'm trying to learn it, that I'm going to praise God when the pain, the sorrow is there, so that I'm counting it joy so that the work gets finished faster. You see what I'm doing? It's me trying to tell God, okay, God, I'm smiling. I'm rejoicing. So that when the trial is there, I'm actually able to prove that it's working. Amen? My dad asked me this one time. Now, I know you use the word slap, and it's hard for me to say slap because we use the word spank, and I know that's not a great word here. But my dad slapped my behind one time. And because I forget what I did, of the many things that I did. My dad had to correct me and chasten me. And I remember just bawling, just bursting out in tears. My dad saying, son, is this getting through to you? And I looked at him and I said, it's working. It's working fine. He said, I don't want you to ever do that again. I don't remember ever doing it again. The point is, the Lord will put us through a trial and to let us see whether we're going to actually trust Him. Like I was talking this morning about learn to trust God, not understand Him. But at some point, we got to look back up to heaven and say, Lord, it's working. I am learning trust. I am learning patience. You got my attention. So patience, when it's working on you, when you're going and it's taking forever to finish, some points you got to look up, and I just think it's okay to pray. I'm trying to give you a secret how to let God know it's working, God. I am learning. I'm not there yet, but you're teaching me patience, and I'm going to rejoice, and I'm going to say, finish it. And I want to be a different person. Because it proves when you are patient, when you patiently go through what you're going through, it proves that your faith is for real. That's why God says add patience, because patience is an attribute of Christ. It is an attribute of a Christian that makes them for real. Impatient people don't look like Christ. Lastly, the work of patience, it pleases God. What do I mean by that? Well, go to Acts chapter 16. Let patience have her perfect work. All right, here's Acts chapter 16. And Eric, I'll have you read this. You have no glasses. Okay, Allison, you're up. Acts chapter 16. And, let's see. You've got to read a bit here, if you don't mind. After I blow my nose. Verse 16. I want you to show me, stop and show me where patience is in these verses, all right? There's a few times you'll see it, and I'll then come back to it, okay? Really cute how it pleases God. Verse 16. Did you see any kind of patience there? At least a little bit? Yes. She came to the meetings. They were going for prayer, and she'd come and she'd stand up. These are the men who are telling us the way to God. And she'd do that day after day. And he put up with it. Many days. You don't know how many. But he had patience, didn't he? Now, there came a time where he said, I rebuke you. And the spirit came out of her. But you see the patience there? Keep going now. Do you see any patience there? Do you see any long suffering yet? It's hidden. No, it's not. Anybody else see any patience there, Marcus? Well, many stripes. Take it patiently. Yeah, but it's a little bit. Think about it. Yes, Andrew. Well, I'm sure. Listen, there's a mob around them. These magistrates, which were the Garda, they were the justice system of the day. There was no fighting, so all they could do was just take it. All they could do was just, they just gave in. I'm not that way, are you? Paul and Silas, who are they trusting? In the justice system? Mob rule? No, they're trusting in God, so they're patient. I want you to see the patience here. They can't even raise their voice. They can't say, guys, this isn't fair. They're not going to be heard. So they just knuckle under, as we say, where I come from. Keep going now. All right, hold there. You see any patience there? Where? Impatience, how would they have acted if they were impatient? They would have just started yelling, this is not fair! Get us out of here! We're Rome! Because they're going to tell them, we're Roman citizens! You've done wrong! But instead they're just singing, praising God. I can see them each. I kind of make fun of it, but I really think that they're looking at each other and saying, Silas, tell me again how you got saved! so the other prisoners could hear. They're patiently enduring, even though they're in prison, in the lowest prison, and their feet are in stocks, and yet they're willing to wait on God. Keep going. Oh, there, their bands were loosed. What would you have done if you were sitting in the floor of a rock-cold, rat-infested, there's vomit, and there is, I'm not even going to say the words, all over the floor, they're sitting in that, their feet are in stocks, the stench, there's no light, it is dark, and all of a sudden, the door's open. What would you do if those stocks popped open? What would you do? Hit it. Yeah, you'd slap yourself, and then you'd run, amen? What do they do? Look at the next verse. What is that? That's patience. That's saying, let's just stay. That's why I love my Bible. That is the greatest way to live. You couldn't read Harry Potter. You couldn't read anything that would encourage you and would so excite you like the Bible. Here is two men who, when they have the opportunity to run and get out of there, and even with all the other prisoners, they just sit there. And that's not something that they just had that moment. God had developed in Paul and Silas that patience. You see that? Yes, ma'am. Yeah, now's our chance. God did this. Yes, that jailer would have killed himself, and the church at Philippi would have been greatly hindered without Paul having such a great testimony like he's going to get. But it even gets gooder, okay? So, verse 29. So when this jailer says, what must I do to be saved? Does he think about, say, like most religious people, and people who even come to our church, may think, all right, saved, and they think such a small little bit of their life. He's looking at the life of these two men, and what is he saying? How do I get just like you? I want to die. You guys, no matter where I put you, you're more alive than ever I've been. You're more free than ever I've been. How do I get... You guys talk about being saved. Whatever that is, I don't think he knew fully what saved was. He said, whatever you are, I want to be. Isn't that awesome? Yep, amen. And isn't it good that a Christian has something? Instead of, yeah, I go to this church. No, have you got any life? Patience is something that actually reveals our reality. A little bit more. Verse 30. Did I say that? Oh, no, sorry. Verse 32. They had an all-night meeting, amen. Keep going, verse 35. Now hold. Where are Paul and Silas now? Nope. They're back in the jail. Because that's where they have to be. That was by order of the magistrates. So he's washed their stripes and all that stuff, but he has to bring them back, all right? And all of those prisoners are still there. Keep going. So the sergeant says, the magistrate says, set those men free. Doesn't that sound good? Keep going. they get the last laugh, don't they? Let me tell you, every time we're impatient, we miss such a thrill and a blessing of being able to have the last laugh, if I can use that phrase. If you understand, it's not a mocking laugh, but it is like, I won. Patience allows you to be finally put in the place where God gets the victory and gives the victory. So, and what's the next verse? Keep going. We'll just finish this. I just wanted you to see just how patient Paul and Silas were even when they were said, when they said, you can go now. He says, no, we want to see them come and actually ask us to leave. This is so sweet. Okay, so the chapter's not about being patient, is it? But you can see patience through it all, can't you? Isn't that interesting? I wouldn't like to go through any of that. But the trying of your faith is more precious than gold. Count it all joy. I think they had joy, didn't they? And you know what? And I brought it. Ultimately, who was most pleased by that patience? God was. All right. Let patience have her perfect work in you. It will reveal whether you're real or not, and it will please God when you say, I'm just going to stay the course. As hard as it is, how much I don't like it, but have some hope and go, you know what, if I finish to the end, I can't wait to see what I get to experience, like Paul and Silas did. All right, we're going to stop there. In 2 weeks, we're going to come back, so be patient. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about ways that God has designed patience to work on us. How does patience work on us? I'm going to give you some examples of patience. James says, ye have heard of the patience of Job. We're going to learn a few. We're going to see areas in our life that need patience. And then we're going to learn how to add patience to our attitude. That'll be in 2 weeks. Let's all stand and let's pray.